Prahlad Maharaj's teaching and showing by example the way of pure devotional service. In several places in Srila Prabhupada's purports in this section, he quotes the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavratam Anukulyena Krishna Anush. Just the first part he quotes. Bhakti is pure. Bhakti, just like the soul is pure. Bhakti is not contaminated with matter. A devotee who is influenced by the modes of nature and material affinity, desire to be the enjoyer of the temporary, can still engage in devotional service and benefit and become purified gradually, depending upon the focus of intention. And that's another way is the sincerity that Krishna should be pleased. That goes along with this message repeatedly being expressed that there's no material qualification or no material disqualification to engage in devotional service. However, if there is affinity for matter, it can take longer. Or if there's a willingness to let go of that affinity for matter, it can take shorter even if one has a lot. So the prior material situation of someone is not a determining factor of eligibility or ineligibility for bhakti. And progress is also not dependent upon where you were before you became a devotee. It may be easier for someone who through many lifetimes has cultivated goodness. Just like it may be easier to start a fire with dry wood than with wet wood. In fact, the wet wood would have to first become dry before you could ignite it. But even if you have wet wood, you can make a fire. You have to dry the wet wood. And there's different ways of doing that. Put it near a fire. It'll become dry more quickly than if you leave it in a lake. So we have standards for devotional service, starting with our regular principles and so forth. And those are just foundational, fundamental, making wet wood drier. But still the igniting is what's the essence. So back to this material, Lord Srinadev didn't specifically say, please take a material benediction from me. And material benediction means specifically that you receive something and try to become the enjoyer of that something. That's material. We'll say the same thing in a different way. Very simple definition, Prabhupada saying, what's the difference between material and spiritual? Material means forgetfulness of Krishna. Spiritual means remembrance of Krishna. Very simple. Something that's accepted with remembrance of Krishna, then it can become spiritualized. And eventually, without any intention of becoming the enjoyer of that something. Music. We're a musical organization. So some people are not so musical. Some people are really musical and they really like music, and how convenient. I like Krishna Consciousness because I like music. It is a musical organization. And so my happiness is music and not pleasing Krishna. So that person will get benefit because it's kirtan that's their music, but not the same benefit as somebody that, whether musical or not, they understand the principle that things are meant for Krishna's pleasure. So this impediment is the language in this verse. He considered the benedictions as impediments, and that's, we discussed, it's potential. There's many devotees, what to speak of in Vaikuntha. The opulence of Vaikuntha is literally out of this world. It's unlimited opulence. That's a lot of opulence. And all the residents of Vaikuntha are surrounded by unlimited opulence, and they're not attracted to be the enjoyers of that opulence because it's Narayan's opulence. He's the enjoyer. That's their eligibility for it entering Vaikuntha. He's cautious. Eventually, mentioned already, but Lord Nrisingadev says, although you don't want a benediction, I want to give you. Take the kingdom and all the opulence of your father, although you have no inclination to do so. Be the enjoyer of it. Now, be the enjoyer of it could mean different things. And it doesn't mean be a sense gratifier. That's what I want of you. Thinking that way is wrong because being the enjoyer as in a sense gratifier, taking objects and trying to be the enjoyer of those objects, that's Maya. That's Maya. So he's not inducing him to Maya. But take the kingdom and rule. And in that sense, so the enjoyment is being in service to Lord Vishnu in your role as a king. That's the be the enjoyer of it position. Here's an opportunity for service. That's my enjoyment. Just, you know, take this building. There was a long time when, for those of us that are from a distant place, may not know the history, but there was quite a long time when there was no temple like this. It was a rented place, kind of a little far away and kind of not beautiful and old and smaller and rented. And the devotees did that for some time, brought the someone's home deities, placed the home deities on the altar and had a Sunday program in a rented place for some years. And then this opportunity came, and then the funds needed to purchase the thing came quickly from the members that wanted our own place. So then after getting the place, a lot of expense to fix it up because it was old. And, you know, that sound back there, the air conditioning and heating unit and kitchen and etc. There's still more to be done, but at least so here we are. Those of you that are from a distant place, maybe some of you are here for the first time. It's very spacious. Beautiful deities, beautiful, all, none of this was here before. A lot of work went into all of this. And now we're coming as visitors, and it's nice. So we're not to be the enjoyers of this. Appreciate and worship Krishna with this facility. the expression of gratitude for the place, utilize the place exclusively in Krishna service, keep the place clean, keep the place well maintained, use it in ways that our founder Acharya would want and not otherwise. Hearing this message of Srimad Bhagavatam in his presence and the deity's presence and for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, and however many are watching online, I don't know. You know, all of this facility that's here. In that sense, we're the enjoyers of it. But in the higher sense, the enjoyment is being in service. That's the real enjoyment. Is the other is insubstantial. I'm just focusing on this word impediment. Receiving something doesn't mean necessarily you receive something and your bhakti is impeded. If you see yourself as the enjoyer of that something, your bhakti is impeded. If you see yourself as utilizing something in service to Krishna, then bhakti is increased. And if that's something that is then no longer there, your bhakti isn't finished. It's not created by or destroyed by circumstance. Ahoitukya pratiyata. So we're going to go through these verses. What Prahlad Maharaj says here, this first verse still, this is Bhagavatam's teaching, which is the same as Lord Chaitanya's teachings. I'm making this point purposefully once again. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. Not wanting something material, but simply wanting causeless devotional service. Rupa Goswami's teaching, which is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, anyabhilasha trishinyam. Same teaching. The Bhagavatam's teaching earlier in the Canto 1, Chapter 2, section. Dharmasya hi apavargasya. That verse. Where Sutta says, dharma, or religious or spiritual activity, should never be done for sense gratification. Rather, it should be done only for the purpose of ultimate liberation. Nartasya dharmai kantasya kamo labhaya hi smritaha. And if in the course of doing devotional service, something does come, never use it in sense gratification, use it in service to Krishna. That's the teaching of bhakti. So the Bhagavatam's teaching, Prahlad's teaching, it's all the same teaching. The language may be different. It's all in Sanskrit, but the terms used to describe may be different, but it's the same teaching. So Prahlad begins speaking. By birth, not by his nature, but by birth, demoniac and the nature of demoniac people, too much attached to material enjoyment. He doesn't have the material enjoyment mood, but he's painting himself as if he's like his place of birth. This is his humility. Over and over again, he does this. From the very beginning of his prayers, he was saying this. I'm born in a demoniac family, and I have disqualification, no qualification, but they're asking me, they're my superiors, I'm their subordinate, so here I am, but I'm unqualified. Don't tempt me with these illusions. He's not tempting him. It's explained in the purport. Lord Nrisimhadev wants to show, just see, what a pure devotee. Take anything. I don't want anything. I don't want anything for enjoyment. So that's, he's not tempting him with illusion. Because for Prahlad, there's no illusion. And he knows the distinction between reality and illusion. I am very much afraid of material conditions. He's fearless, but he's cautious. I desire to be free from materialistic life. He's not desiring merging in Brahman. He's desiring freedom from materialistic life. So that's being granted later. You become king and stay in transcendence. The verse in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada quotes, kamais taistair hritagana. If one has desire, hritagana, one's knowledge is stolen by illusion. Hritagana. So his knowledge isn't stolen by illusion. He's very clear. No sense gratification. Thank you. He's just a five-year-old boy. He's making reference to lusty desire. Commonly in our modern use of language, lusty has to do with sex attraction. He's a five-year-old boy. But one can be lusty in a broader sense of the term for being an enjoyer of sense objects, whatever those sense objects might be. That's also another broader use of the term of lusty. But the root cause of material existence is I desire to be an enjoyer. I want Krishna's position. He's the enjoyer Prakriti. I want to be the enjoyer Prakriti. And to be the enjoyer, I have to make it mine. So I have my project to make so many things mine so I can enjoy them. That's material existence. Someone standing in the way, they're an enemy. And I want to have to do something, get rid of them or diminish their influence or chop their legs or something. Get them to stop bothering me. Now because of the verse is saying, I've been made many references to this. You sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. So in the purport, Prabhupada speaks of these two terms, nitya, siddha. Nitya, siddha is an eternally perfect being, and here, in Prabhupada's purport, he says that Prahlad is a nitya siddha. Wait a while, in text 12 he's going to say he's a mixed siddha, to help confuse us, right? He's perfect, but he's become perfect, or at least the part that he's playing is he becomes perfect, and thus even more technically mixed. Like Dhruva. Dhruva is the other person mentioned in that purport. But he is an eternally perfect being, or is a perfect being. Just like, you know, he was perfect, Narada, even before he was born, he's a great devotee. And then he heard from Narada within the womb. And then he was born. And he had no material attraction. And then Lord Nrisimhadev placed his hand on his head and he had no material attraction. He's speaking here as if he has material attraction. But he's a nitya siddha person. Teaching, exhibiting the symptoms of a pure devotee. Now comes this little more delicate part. where he says the vanik is a merchant, and a merchant has some wares, like this fellow with his cart, and he's expecting something in return. And if we engage in devotional service where we're doing something, expecting and something in return, which is common or almost universal, we have some expectation of something in return. Otherwise, why would we do something? We're expecting something. And as long as one has that consciousness, then one is in merchant consciousness, business exchange consciousness. But that's if there's some material note, material benefit or material profit. So now material means forgetfulness of Krishna. Prahlad, there's no forgetfulness of Krishna. He's always remembering him. So whatever it is that he has or doesn't have, it doesn't create unhappiness or happiness. Because for him everything is service. He's cautious about receiving. And when you're cautious about receiving, when you receive something, you're very careful with it. I've had the experience, without going into detail because of time, one devotee, I'll mention his name, Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, is really absorbed in Vrindavan. And he has videos of Vrindavan, he has still pictures of Vrindavan and picture books of Vrindavan, and he loves Vrindavan. And twice he contacted me and said, there's a particular lens or two that I need, and it's much less expensive to buy in America on eBay. Can you buy it for me? And when we're together in Mayapur, I'll reimburse you whatever the cost was. Sure, some service. Fantastic. And I recall on both occasions, my consciousness was absorbed until I finally handed over the lens. This is Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj's lens. You know, my whole luggage could have been lost, but not that lens. Because it was his. I mean, it was for him. And it was not like, whew, now I can get back to normal again when I gave it to him. But it was weighing very heavily because it was his. It's natural if you're conscientious. So when you have something that you know belongs to Krishna, you're going to handle it very carefully. If you're forgetting Krishna, then it's up for grabs, or I can use it in sense however I like, because it's mine. Forget Krishna, you got problems. Our anxiety begins, just as we heard. Endeavor for happiness, and that's where distress begins. And then it grows. So endeavor for Krishna's pleasure, because everything belongs to Krishna, and it's, and happiness and peace arise. So when we are engaged in service, we shouldn't be merchants. And similarly, the master that likes to give profit or rewards or something or other to a servant, because now I get some prestige by having some servant or servants, that person's not a proper master or not a pure master. This material profit consideration or material sense gratification consideration is the real issue in pure devotional service. It's not whether you're Sudama Brahman and you have nothing, or you're Ambarish Maharaj and you have opulence that surpasses that of heaven and rivals that of Vaikuntha. or anything in between. Your qualification, disqualification is not what you have or don't have. It's the consciousness behind what you have, don't have. The purpose of that something, whatever that something is, small, big, medium, or this category, that the other, whatever the category, it's meant for Krishna's pleasure. Because there's a lot of discussion here about attached family life. There are some family persons here and in our society. So when young boy marries young girl marries young boy, one of the important lessons is it's not that he is now or she is now your the object meant to fulfill your desires. And you have a license. Go ahead. Rather, here's a person to serve, part and parcel of Krishna. Here's a person to serve, part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is meant to be the enjoyer of this part and parcel and that relationship of service. Here's a facility for serving Krishna together. When that consciousness is there, it's a whole other experience than here's an object for my enjoyment. I have a license, a marriage license, and we enjoy together. That's not a good formula for advancement in bhakti or being happy. Leads to something else. Oh my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant. This is paraphrasing another earlier verse. Ahoituki pratiyata, second chapter of first canto. Hetu means cause and ahetu means causeless. So without some purpose to be fulfilled, devotional service is without some motivation. And then on the other side, that's the start. And then the other side is something that interrupts it. Devotional service has no material something that starts it or stops it. It goes on regardless of cause or obstacle. And when one has that situation, that's real happiness, real satisfaction. And that's the philosophy, and it's also just happens to be true. It's one of my favorite verses in the whole of the Bhagavatam. I think I'm going to speak about it, come circle back and speak about it this evening for the Sunday crowd. There's no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master and I'm naturally the servant. We have no other relationship. So you don't need to give me something. He wants to give him something. You don't need to give me something. Certainly, so. If you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction, then I pray from your lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. If you get something, let me not see myself as the enjoyer of that something. Or if I don't get something, I won't feel, I didn't get something. I hear it all the time from the, you know, guiding position. People have their expectations and their expectations aren't met. And they're frustrated. You know, what's wrong with Krishna? I can get what I expected. There's reference with this previous verse to, you can look it up later, 10.88.8. Krishna speaking, saying, I don't give sense gratification to my devotee, but I if I show special favor, I may take everything away. Because when everything is taken away, that's my special favor, they only have my shelter. So it's not cruel. It's he wants to give his lotus feet. The expression is given like this elsewhere. I think it's fifth canto. Hari, the name of the Supreme Lord Hari, means one who takes away. So with his thousands of hands, he can take everything away very quickly. And you don't have enough hands to stop him from taking everything away very quickly. And with those same hands, he gives everything auspicious. He takes away the inauspicious and he gives auspicious. So you don't have enough hands to receive all the auspiciousness when he gives auspiciousness. But that's Hari. He takes away, but he also gives. Because that's his nature. And what he gives is his two lotus feet. Paraphrased by your acharyas this way. Krishna says, I'm not such a fool. My devotee prays for something material. I'm not going to give them something material. It'll become entangled in that something material. But if I do give them something, I give it in such a way they'll never have the desire for that something again because I give my two lotus feet. And they become so satisfied, they never desire that something again. Because the something, the desire for that something, could be Krishna's service. It's like a desire to have this temple. It took some effort. The devotees work hard to get this temple and to get the funds to do the renovation work so we can sit here and have a noisy heating system. But it's a much better than when it didn't work. We were here 1 year and it was like Siberia. Or maybe not Siberia. Badrinath in the winter. Very cold. We'll take the noise along with the heat. The heat along with the noise. Oh my Lord, because of lusty desire from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, etc., are vanquished. When a human being is able to give up all material desires in his mind, he becomes eligible to possess wealth and opulence like yours. So it's similar to the idea that I was describing this morning. Krishna gives us something. Whatever that something is. Some ability, some understanding, some time, some finance, or whatever. Krishna gives us something. And if we use it very carefully in Krishna's service, oh, this person can handle something more. And Krishna may give something more. He may give a whole lot more, depending upon what we can handle, and not become covered by Maya again, and think of ourselves as the enjoyer of that something. So eventually, when one has no material desire, then the opulence of Vaikuntha becomes the opulence that you experience. You go to Vaikuntha, and everything is fully opulent. Or even in this world, examples of Yudhisthira, when verse says his opulence was equal to that of the heavenly planets, Ambarish Maharaj, whose opulence rivaled that of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. That's a lot of opulence. But he wasn't attracted to it. He used it for ruling his kingdom in various ways. But he wasn't attracted to it. He protected it. He used it well. But he wasn't attached to it. He wasn't a source of happiness for him because you see objects, whatever it may be, as a object of the sense for enjoyment, and the mind just becomes bewildered. You can't think straight. Intelligence becomes lost and fall back in the material pool, exactly like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. But one who has no material desire, they're eligible for the opulences of Vaikuntha. Then this is the final section from this morning. O Lord of Vaikuntha, please let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. That's all. And so now comes a series of verses. We're not going to complete everything because we have an evening class. But now Lord Nrisimhadev gives a response saying, my dear Prahlad, a devotee like you never desires any kind of material opulences, either in this life or in the next. Nevertheless, I order you to enjoy the opulences of the demons in this material world, acting as their king until the end of the duration of time occupied by Manu. And that's a long time to live. To live as long as Manu. 71 yoga cycles. 4,320,000 times 71. You get really old. Now he's saying, we mentioned this, he's ordering him to enjoy the opulences of the demons. But it doesn't literally mean it like they would enjoy their opulences, but have these facilities, these opulences at your disposal as the king. You have your royal treasury, and you use the royal treasury as king, proper kings do, in service to Krishna, service to the Supreme Lord. This is a phrase used by Narottam Das Thakur, Prabhupada quotes, where he indicates objects of sense gratification are like pots of poison. And you drink from the pot of poison and you're dead because it's poison. A transcendentalist sees objects of the senses, specific in terms of an object meant to be enjoyed by me, that seeing is poison or pot of poison. Same object seen in devotion to Krishna, it's a facility for serving Krishna, whatever that object is, whatever it is. Next verse. It does not matter that you are in the material world, because he asked, I want to return back to you in the spiritual world. You should always, continuously hear the instructions and messages given by me, and always be absorbed in thought of me, for I am the super soul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruitive activities. He's not engaged in fruitive activities, but stay clear of, so don't, that's advice for us. Fruitive activities means, like, not, don't go to school, don't go to work. It means don't do those things with the idea of being the enjoyer of the fruits of those things. That's fruitive work. So do those things in service to Krishna. It's an art how to do your academic work in service to Krishna. But we discussed this a little bit the other day. And how to do your career and how to do everything in service to Krishna. It's a way of life, so certainly there's a way. Give up fruitive activities and worship me. my dear Prahlad. While you're in the material world, you will exhaust all the reactions of pious activity by feeling happiness. Interesting, huh? And by acting piously, you will neutralize impious activity. Now, there's a teaching that says piety can't neutralize sin. So the piety he's speaking about is devotional piety. Maharaj, could you explain that? Sure. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains it. There are three kinds of piety. Material piety, impersonal piety, and bhakti piety. He calls it sukriti. Bhog anmukhi sukriti. The classic example from Vedic literature is digging wells and planting trees by the side of the road. There's other things that one can do, but where there's no fresh water, it benefits everybody. Everyone can go to the well. So you dig wells. That's pious. And you get pious merit. And trees by the side of the road. In many places in India, it's very hot. And the roads get, especially in the summer, burn your feet. Really hot. So some shade along the side of the road. So people move along the side of the road, they're quite comfortable. It's piety. Bhog anmukhi sukriti. You get merit for material piety, that kind of piety. Moksh anmukhi sukriti is a kind of piety that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, like studying Vedanta Sutra. That's a material, that's a moksh sukriti, with the aim of liberation and merging with Brahman. And bhakti anmukhi sukriti. And that's all of what we do in our temples. Just like the last verse of the previous chapter, Prahlad saying, just by bhakti alone, these 10 beneficial things are achieved. So just to bhakti. These other things are a subset of bhakti. So just do bhakti. And benefits will come. Without striving for the benefits, they'll come. So that kind of piety, devotional piety, or devotional sukriti, or bhakti sukriti, exhausts the reactions of past pious activity. Because the reactions of past pious activity is, you get facility and then you want to be the enjoyer of that facility. So exhaust that enjoying propensity because Krishna becomes the enjoyer. Finished. Same object comes, but Krishna is the enjoyer of that object. No problem. You'll neutralize impious activities by acting piously. Now that acting piously again is bhakti, sukriti. Because material doesn't counteract material reactions. You can make it diminished by experience, but it doesn't take it away. Bhakti does. Takes it away. Neutralized. In time, you're going to give up your body like everybody else, but while you're here, you take the service of being the king, and at the end of your life, you'll go back to Godhead. So here's that verse, if you read in the purport, text 12, Prabhupada speaks of sadhana siddhas and nitya siddhas, and then says these two, they're mixed siddhas. It's a detail. Another time Prabhupada said, in the spiritual world, they don't have card-carrying siddhas. I'm a nitya siddha, how about you? I'm a sadhana siddha, how about you? I'm a kripa siddha, okay. You stand over there, we'll stand over here, and we have our groups. No. Siddha means, what is siddha? That's all. Siddha means perfect. So their leelas are, they became perfect. Narada in his previous life was a Shudra and then became Narada through sadhana. But Siddha, he's Shaktivesh Avatar. Anyway, that's what Prabhupada writes in this purported text 12. Or, 13. One who always remembers, so this is a benediction, one who always remembers your activities and my activities also, and who chants the prayers you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from the reactions of material activities. So there's a benediction that comes to us. It's what we've been doing, you know, however imperfectly we're doing, and in due course of time, all reactions of all material activities will be eliminated. That's the personality of Godhead speaking. So it's fact. Text 15. Even when performing devotional service, a devotee has to create many enemies. This is now Narada speaking. Prahlad Maharaj himself had experience of this, for even his father became his enemy. A devotee should expertly manage to think always of the Supreme Lord so that the reactions of suffering cannot touch him. Now, there's a long and very interesting purport with references to other sections of the Bhagavatam, because we're in the material world. I'm sure you've noticed. And it's an unpleasant place. I'm sure you've noticed. And it's not just the cold weather. It's an unpleasant place. And it's not just here, it's the place. It's an unpleasant place. So there is suffering. And suffering can be of different types. Someone can physically hurt you. Someone can insult you. Someone can step on your foot, or who knows, you know, someone can hurt you. Someone can do kind things, someone can do cruel things. It's the nature of the place. It's a place of duality. So a devotee may experience some physical or mental pain. We all know what both are. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm not a devotee anymore because I have some physical pain or I have some mental pain. But how a devotee sees that is very different. And how the Supreme Lord sanctions it is very different. It's the difference between the internal and the external energy. Sat-chit ananda energy and the opposite energy, where it's karmic bondage, tit for tat. As you do, it comes back to you. In the lives of devotees, it's not like that. Krishna may sanction some difficult time. It's not that Krishna checked out, or he abandoned you, or he got too busy and forgot you, or something. Not like that. He's omniscient, and he's giving us an opportunity for taking deeper shelter, or some other purposes that Krishna may be fulfilling. So the relationship of Krishna isn't created or diminished or enhanced or diminished by circumstances. If anything, more difficult circumstances help us in more sincerely in completely taking shelter. So the concluding sentence here, a devotee should expertly manage to think always of the Supreme Lord so that the reactions of suffering isn't suffering. You may recognize something. Somebody hit your car, or you slipped and fell and hurt your arm, or whatever. Someone said something mean, or whatever. So you feel something when those things happen. But if the material side is you lose remembrance of Krishna and yourself, and you get absorbed in that, hit my car or hurt my arm or I got insulted. Krishna disappears from the picture, you disappear from the picture, and false ego takes the front seat. Prahlad is in this constant remembrance position that never happens with him. So sometimes these difficult situations are there to help us take deeper shelter when we had some false shelters, or false shelters meaning something that's not eternal. And then that's a kindness when that's something that's not eternal somehow just goes away, disappears. And then we have only Krishna's shelter to take. A little bit like the answer to your question, Shruti. So, two more verses. We'll complete this section. Anyone who chants about the pure life and activities of Prahlad Maharaj is free from the reactions of material activities. Oh, Supreme Lord. That was Narada speaking. Now, Prahlad is responding. Because you are so merciful to the fallen souls, I ask you for only one benediction. He's already asked, please keep me free from the desire for enjoying material facilities. Now he's asking another one. I know that my father, at the time of his death, had already been purified by your glance upon him. But because of his ignorance of your beautiful power and supremacy, he was unnecessarily angry at you, falsely thinking that you were the killer of his brother. Thus, he directly blasphemed your lordship, the spiritual master of all living beings, and committed heavily sinful activities directed against me, your devotee. I wish that he be excused. And it's certainly heavily sinful activities, not only against Prahlad, but against many other people. Nrisimhadeva's reply, O most pure, O saintly person, your father has been purified along with 21 forefathers in your family. Because you were born in this family, the entire dynasty has been purified. So instead of doing worship of ancestors, you know, in the West it's not popular at all. In China it's very popular. Very popular. Not everybody, because culture is being lost, but the cultured, ancient cultured people, they all do this. Worship of ancestors. That's a whole topic, worship of ancestors. So rather than going into the whole topic, you have concern about somebody, the previous generations or your parents or grandparents or something, become a pure devotee. There's nothing better you can do for them. You know, send them some money or say some words of prayer or something. You can do that. But you become purified, and 21 generations before you become purified. Now, it doesn't detail what that purification is, but purified in the story of King Nriga, some of you know from Bhagavatam, 10th canto, or Krishna book. King Nriga, pious king, but mixed devotee. In addition to serving Krishna, he wanted to see Krishna. In addition to serving Krishna, he wanted to, just in case Krishna forgets, kind of mentality, he was also doing pious activities because he wanted pious results. He was giving away cows, and one of the cows wandered back in the herd, and he gave the cow away to another Brahmin, and they cursed him. When he was delivered by Krishna, because he was the lizard at the bottom of a well, and Krishna saw him and touched him, and he became King Nriga again, and saw Krishna, because that's what he wanted. But the explanation given by the Acharyas was because he didn't have faith in Krishna. So Krishna made arrangements he could just have faith in him. And that was an unknowing offense. He gave away the property of a Brahmin, or stole the property of a Brahmin once he had already given it. In any case, there is this explanation given how many generations, if one becomes pure, how many generations before or after become pure or liberated. Once Prabhupada was asked, I think it was Garga Muni and Brahmananda were brothers. And so their mother was very fortunate, having two sons that became such nice devotees. And Prabhupada said, she'll be liberated just because you become liberated by your devotional service. And then they asked, what kind of liberation does that mean? Is it this one, that one? Prabhupada's answer was that she'll have the opportunity to engage in devotional service in her next life. That's what he said. That's what I was told what he said. Because getting the opportunity to render devotional service, it begins from the Brahma-Bhuta platform, and it's most fortunate. So how did we get our good fortune? Who can say? Just the causeless mercy of our founder Acharya and his representatives, his expert arrangements to give opportunities to others. And someone said, yes, I'll help. So we can do the same thing. We can somehow just help. We don't have to be perfect. We just have to somehow help. Distribute books or the holy name or prasadam and explain the science of Krishna to others. When a Vaishnava takes birth in a family by the grace of the Lord, he purifies not only the family but also the families of his previous birth. So now, there's two different pictures. The dynasty that he didn't take birth in those families, that the ancestors took birth in that line. So one picture is the ancestors in that line become purified, but the explanation given is from the previous life of Hiranyakashipu and the previous life of that person, in those families, they become purified, or whoever Prahlad was in his previous life, or in his previous, those families, not necessarily the dynasty. The distinction is clear? Okay. Two more. Whenever and wherever there are peaceful and equipoised devotees who are well behaved and decorated with all good qualities, that place and the dynasties there, even if condemned, are purified. Of course, the opposite is true. Wherever exalted devotees stay, the entire country is purified. And the opposite is true. My dear Prahlad, king of the Daityas, because of being attached to devotional service to me, my devotee does not distinguish between lower and higher living entities in all respects. He is never jealous of anyone. Now, what's the question of jealousy come in? I learned lots of things from Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, and one of them is the distinction between envy and jealousy. Would you like to hear? Because commonly we use them interchangeably, right? Envy and jealousy. Don't be envious. Don't be jealous. So it's technical. The meaning of the word envy is somebody has something that you wish you had and you're envious of that someone, which means you're envious of that something, which means you're envious of Krishna because he has everything. And jealous has the meaning more accurately, accurate use of the word is, you jealously guard something. You have something and you don't want others to have it. So you jealously guard that something. Now, I don't know if Prabhupada is using the word in that sense here. Well, whatever somebody has, higher or lower being, we don't wish to have what they have or proud of or covet our own situation and jealously protect other people from whatever it is that we have. Either way, that's those who are attached to Krishna. So it's a very simple formula. You become attached to Krishna and everything you need is there. And you're not wishing to have something that somebody else has or afraid that what you have is someone's going to take it. Because it's given by Krishna. This is actually one more verse. Those who follow your example, this is Nrisingha Dev to Prahlad, will naturally become my pure devotees. So devotees, you want to become a pure devotee? There's a natural way. Follow, don't imitate. You are the best example of my devotee, and others should follow in your footsteps. So here's that reference now. Verse 21, Madhvacharya is quoted in the purport from Skanda Purana, which indicates that of the 12 Mahajans, Prahlad is the best example. Now they're all the best. But it's being quoted by Srila Prabhupada, Madhvacharya, Skanda Purana. So that's the end of this section. Very elevating, huh? Illuminating lights. Lights in the back. So, any comments or questions? The way of pure devotional service. You have something? Go ahead and say. Yeah. Piety. Three types of piety. Yeah. Yeah.
Responsibility. So, like, let us say we have our kids, the children. So we are attached to them, and we develop some kind of a attachment. Oh, this guy should become so and so, and that is kind of leading towards the desire, right? Like, even though we tend to keep Krishna in the center, but we lean towards having the desire, material attachment there. Right?
Yeah.
So, how we need to, how we need to see that?
We discussed this. I mean, how do you see it? It is what it is. It is what you just said it is. How to become spiritually advanced beyond that is, we discussed it at length. Or maybe you were in the kitchen or something. Didn't hear it. We'll just do a quick review, not a detailed one. There's this, it's not exactly balance, it's two things to consider. There's inordinate or excessive attachment. Excessive attachment blinds one. You can't really do what's best for the person who you're attached to if you're excessively attached. And over there is detached. That's dead. Or Prabhupada in Queen Kunti's prayers says, when she's asking for her attachment for the Pandavas and Vrishni, she's not asking, I don't care, please take away, I care. They're having affection is natural. So the appropriate affection, not excessive affection or attachment. You wouldn't be a good human being. You wouldn't be a good father or a good person. There wasn't feelings for others. But not inordinate. So that's, you know, a proper attachment. And then the next is to spiritualize that proper attachment. And spiritualize means this relationship with children is the spirit soul within and meant for the pleasure of Krishna. And then there's the package, the body and the mind and the feelings and everything. And that's part of my service as a parent and seeing that that is entered into not inordinately but appropriately for the pleasure of Krishna. Now I may not know how to do for the pleasure of Krishna in different circumstances, but that's the principle I live by. Not too much, not too little. And what's there, what's appropriate is spiritualized.
This can be in various ways, not only with the children, with position.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. Everything. Involvement with the world around us, people and things.
I have a second question, Maharaj.
Go ahead.
We spoke about in our spiritual journey, there will be certain circumstances where we do forget Krishna, as you rightly said, and we also forget ourselves as well as body, and our ego comes into the driver's seat. So with that, what happens is there will be always a justification inside which will be triggered up with from our mind, which trickles, oh, we have done the right thing. Oh, we are keeping Krishna in the center. This is the right. Right?
I'm familiar with the territory.
Yeah. And, oh, this, I'm hosting this position. Whatever I say is good. You know, as a father or as a, at work or whatever.
Right? Yeah, it's all false ego in the mind.
Mind overtakes.
Mind and false ego. And I'm justified.
I'm justified, yeah. I'm the best.
Well, you know,
and I'm doing for them.
Otherwise, I would have done it differently because, you know, that's me. I always do things right. And of course it was right. Anyway, it's false ego in mind. It's protectionism, territorial protectionism. And, you know, it doesn't need to go the other direction either. I'm always wrong and self-berating and beating myself up, and that's another illusion. So introspection that's honest. It's needed. And one of the things that will help us conduct introspection that's honest is have someone that guides, a person that knows us well, and they can, you know, even before we ask them, they know, they're just waiting for us to ask them. They're not going to stick their nose in where it doesn't belong, but if we ask them, you know, how am I doing?
Acceptance.
Yeah. And if they don't know, they'll say, I don't know. But, you know, if they know, they'll say, because you invited them in. Or they may ask, you know, 15 questions and then give you your answer while you're doing the justification program.
Yeah.
You know, family relations can be like that too if they're honest relations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, ask your son. He'll tell you. Ask your wife. Ask your dearmost friends. Ask, you know, those that are superiors to you. Ask those who are guiding you in your spiritual life. You know, it doesn't have to be excessive, but be open for that, because that's going to help you in your introspection program. And there may be some feedback that comes in the course of doing something like that where there's just, I'm not seeing myself correctly, or others aren't seeing, they don't have the facts. They don't have the what happened and, you know, why. But also, I need to do some adjusting in my internal examination of things. If we're not willing to do that, we're stuck. The anchor's down and we're row, row, row your boat, and we're not going anywhere. Or not progressing properly.
Thank you.
Maharaj, in the connection with the Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha, you mentioned that Narada Muni and Prahlad Maharaj, they're mixed sadhakas. If you, and you mentioned that Narada Muni was in his previous life, he was a shudra.
Yes.
If you could share with us what was Prahlad Maharaj's previous life, and also another question I have is that he got benediction from Lord Nrisingadev that he would be the king of the asuras for the 71 yugas. Did the...
There's a babbling child that's a little louder than you, and I can't... Let me answer the first question, and maybe the babbling child can go babble somewhere else or something. Your question was, who was Prahlad in his previous life?
Yeah.
There's two different versions. We covered this the first day, first evening, Wednesday night. In this chapter 10, he says he was sent from Vaikuntha. So that's who he was in his previous life, a Vaikuntha resident. And the second option is from Hari Bhakti Vilas, familiar with that, right? Sanatana Goswami, describing the glories of Nrisinga Chaturdasi, writes, from a reference from Brahma Vaivarta Purana, that in his previous life he was a Brahmin who was something like a Jamila. He neglected, he became attached to a prostitute, he did sinful things, and he did one good thing. Inadvertently, he observed Nrisinga Chaturdasi. He and the prostitute got in a quarrel on Nrisinga Chaturdasi, and he got upset, so he couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. He did, you know, vrata all night long. And for that, according, because Prahlad asks Lord Ashringada, how to become your devotee? And he gives this answer. Who was I in my previous life?
Thank you. So the second answer is, when Lord Narasingadev gave him the benediction that he will be the king of the Asuras till the end of the Manu age, basically the 71 Yugas, did he, because he was the king, by the association, did any of the Asuras of the demons became Suras during his ruling?
We don't have that information. The only information that I'm aware of, at least I don't have that information, is his grandson became Balni Maharaj.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Maharaj, in the age of Satya Yuga...
In terms of what? Speak louder and clearer. Just, the microphone's fine. Just hold it close and louder.
In the age of Satya Yuga, does the people knows the Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, or they know Narayan and Vishnu forms only?
I don't know. Anyone else? Yes.
I was thinking about the rescuer and the servant consciousness you were speaking in one of the previous classes.
Mm.
And then we heard Prahlad Maharaj instructing his classmates, so he was in the consciousness of a servant instructing his classmates.
Yes.
But in my own case, I struggle to see what's my consciousness. Am I doing things in a rescuer consciousness or a servant consciousness? Because I feel it's like a very small switch, like you said, small thing, big thing.
Yes.
It's, when it goes off, it's very, very difficult to figure out.
Subtle.
Yeah. So if you can help me.
Yes. The best way I can help you is to have you discuss this with one devotee who has gone deeply into the subject by their introspection and the application of what they've introspected, and, you know, sharing it with others so they're making sure, just like this, making sure that they're getting the right picture, others that can see them in a way they may not see themselves. Come up afterwards and I'll tell you who that person is. In fact, the term rescuer consciousness comes from this individual. They're really clear about it, and the process of making these distinctions. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In the text 20,
Text 20.
Yes. Lord Narasingadev is saying, my dear Prahlad, king of the Daityas, Prahlad is like 5 years old.
Yeah.
When did he become king?
Well, he's going to be. His father's dead. He's the eldest son.
Okay. He's just 5.
That's the answer.
Okay.
He's not king yet. He will be, because he's going to tell him, you become king. Although he's only 5 years. Because father's dead. You got to have somebody.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Over here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. How can I see something which I do duty bound, by respecting my parents' desires, which is not for Krishna, as service to Krishna?
How do you see it?
Yeah.
When mom and dad want you to do something that's not for Krishna?
Yeah, but it's their
Maya.
Necessity.
That's how you see it.
Okay.
Simple definition. For the pleasure of Krishna, that's spiritual. Not Maya. No. How do you dress yourself to Maya? That's another question. It depends on lots of factors. If it's not, is there some way to modify it and brings it closer to for the pleasure of Krishna or for the satisfaction of Krishna?
Thank you, Maharaj.
That's why you have somebody guiding you. Help you through that hurdle. But if it's like there isn't a connection with Krishna, you just smile and give them one of these.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, we're done for the day. Oh, for the afternoon. So many of you will be going somewhere. So drive safely, and some of us will be here and will be online if you're not here. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.